Lift up our brother John, Lord, that we know that he has sought your face. He has studied your word. And Lord, he has sought to know the word for this day. Now, Father, I pray your anointing. We ask the Spirit of God to come and move upon him and through him and to us. And Father, we turn this time over to you. Just use him mightily, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. All right, if you were here the last time, you remember that I was talking a little bit about being overcomers and accepting our call. We need to become overcomers. There's a lot of challenges that we face in this world, and we're going to continue to face challenges every single day. And one of the things that I want to touch on today, though, is building our faith and to understand what those challenges are to our faith. Some of them may even be hidden from us. We are, and just like Pastor Don said, you know, we're strangers in a foreign land, actually. And our home is not here. And if we're strangers in a foreign land, we may not always know the direction that we're going, but if we get the right map, we can find our way home. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, faith. Faith is a way to, I mean, we need to find our way to faith so that we can find our way home. And we need to understand those challenges that we have. You know, many of us here, maybe the majority of us, are still looking for answers to an important question in our lives. What's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? How am I, you know, some of us are accepting God, have been serving God for a while, and we're still searching for that answer. We're still searching for the purpose that we have, that God has for us in our life. And some of us are here for the first time, and maybe we don't really even understand what God is about. And so I'm here today to hopefully kind of lead you down a path, but not only just show you the idea of faith and what it's about, but also to understand our obstacles and our challenges. We're all looking for significance, but unfortunately, most of us are connected to the world so much that in many cases, we've let the world define us a little bit. Everybody in here has allowed some part of the world to define who they are. We're all challenged a little bit about, you know, meeting our goals and expectations from people around us. And so we've kind of let that kind of drive some things, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. You know, our emotions and our feelings and how we go about living our lives every day, it's a struggle when we're trying to connect with this unknown entity for some of us because we can't feel, touch, and hear God in many cases. So, you know, the thing is that many people who are living in this world today who are able to attain everything in life, as much as they get, they never really ever feel fulfilled because they really haven't filled up that place that God's trying to fill up for them. The thing is, first here, if we are going to accept the call, we first need to accept the caller. And that's a key point. If you struggle with faith, you will struggle with the call. We all struggle. We're all going to have this issue with believing in the things. But that actually is something that is a personal decision that each one of us has to make. I can't, no matter what I do up here, no matter how many messages you hear, until you actually decide that this is something you want, your life will not change. Your life is not going to change until you believe that this Jesus that everybody is talking about in this Christian faith is for real. Now, history has proven he's there. We have history books, which is one of them major, is the Bible, that tells you. That's a history book, by the way. You know, people think that it was written by men of God, but it's a history of man and God's relationship and Christ's relationship with us. So, and that's why history comes from, right? His story. You know? So, you know, we need to realize that that is part of history. We can no longer, we can no more negate Christ in our life than we can negate George Washington. You don't know George Washington. Anybody here met him? No. Bob. I'm sorry. I forgot about Bob. What about Bob? Yep. And I'm not even going to say anything that I'm older than him. So, but you know what? The thing, too, is that in the absence of faith, the world struggles. Because Christianity has married itself somewhat with the world, Christians, I should say, have married themselves, and they're kind of like, you know, trying to do, serve two masters almost. The world has struggled. If you look at what's going on in the world, I mean, even in the last 20 years, I mean, we've had an increase in family breakdowns. We've had homelessness that's grown. We've had abortion, youth suicide, destructiveness, godlessness, hopelessness. The world needs us. We need us. I said this the last time, that we need each other. And we're the reason, we're going to be the one that builds each other up. But we also need the world. So salvation is something that it's, you know, you can come up here and say anything you want when we pray for you. But the truth of the matter is, it's when you get it right here and it changes you is what makes you, which confirms your salvation. And faith is a key point to that. Because the world needs us, it's all the more reason we need to confront our challenges with faith. Because the world does need us. And we do not want to be one of the statistics out there, the spiritual statistics that say, you know, I'm sorry, you didn't make it. I didn't know you. Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith is not a feeling. You can't feel faith. It's a choice. It's a choice that you make to believe in something that you can't see. It's a choice to believe in God and not be confused by all of the stuff that the world is telling you and all the feed. I mean, you know, your children. Matter of fact, when I think about, when I heard some things on the TV the other day, and there's this new law that was passed that allows anybody to get married justifiably, okay? 70% of those people under 30 years old voted and supported that law. Where do you think our challenges are for tomorrow? The world has inundated our children with false, misleading untruths, and we are standing by and allowing it to happen. We need a plan. We need a plan. And our faith needs to be strong so that we can carry out the plan, that we will not be stopped by anything that the world is trying to throw at us. You know, what was it? There was a word here earlier about, you know, to death do us go through it. If it wasn't here, I read it. But, you know, there's a scripture that's actually very difficult to read, and I didn't print it here, but it actually talks about giving up everything for Christ. So it's really kind of a place where we need to be. When we're talking about giving up our flesh, laying down our flesh for God, it's actually giving up our desires and serving God before we serve ourselves. And in Hebrews 11, 1, it says, and I've got two different versions of this, and in the NIV it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And King James, of course, we know these are very popular verses, but now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I kind of like the King James Version because I like the word substance. And I'm going to come back to this, but substance is a Greek word for stand under, support. You could use confidence, belief in, or what something is made of. But faith is not just religious. Faith is something that we actually use in some form every day. U.S. mail. You know you're going to get your mail every day, right? Or at least somebody's mail. Pastor John. He's going to be here every Sunday unless he's on vacation or really, really, really sick. But how many of us here, by the way, how many of us here own a life insurance policy? Thank God you have faith that you're going to die. By the way, for those who had their hands up, somebody count the ones who didn't have their hands up. I sell insurance, so I need opportunities wherever I can find them. Faith in these types of things don't require much of us. The mail is going to come whether you're home or not. Pastor John's going to be up here whether you show up or not. Or somebody's going to be up here teaching the word, right? But like the mail, God is actually sending something to us. He's sending his love every second of every day to you. Unfortunately, many people aren't home to receive it. They aren't there to get and capture the love. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And they're not always to blame, but like I said, when it comes to making choices, we need to realize that this whole thing that's gone on for centuries now, this thing about Jesus Christ and our beliefs and things like that, it doesn't sustain itself. If it were based on what the world thought, this place would be empty. Okay? But it's not. And so that means that the Spirit of God is still working regardless of what the world wants to do. His word is our hope. And it is also the hope of the world. By the way, I'd like to ask, how many of you here would buy a life insurance policy if it guaranteed you to live forever? Everybody's hand should be up. I'm looking to get one. But I do have it. Okay? I can't sell it to you, but I hope that I can convince that you need it. Okay? The truth is, a life insurance policy really is an unselfish purchase. Because the owner really never receives the payout. But in the case of faith, it is an everlasting payout to the believer. Amen? If we can get that, if we can accept that, if we can let it so the world doesn't water it down and give it away and have us give it away, then we will increase our faith. And by the way, you know, you can buy a life insurance policy for $1,000 or $1 million or more. And the question is that when somebody needs it, is it going to be enough? I'm going to tell you right here, when it comes to faith, Christ says that a faith as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain. And so we need to always know that, you know, it's just a matter of saying, I believe, Lord. I'm going to follow you regardless of what happens to me. If we can get through all of this thing, this selfishness that we go through, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but as a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about it real shortly here. So, John 11:25-26. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they may die. Amen. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Now that is said by our Lord and Savior, the one who we follow, the one whom we believe in. But it also says in another verse, Romans 14:5, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And I think that's where the challenges come. You know, this thing here that thinks through everything, has to have an answer for everything, can't get through to where we need to make the decision, and that's with our heart. So what are the roadblocks in accepting this gift? Well, everyone of us needs to grow up. Maturity is a problem, okay? Maturity is one of those things also that comes from making appropriate choices. When we make a choice, I mean, just because you're 60 or more like I am, or if you're 30, 40, doesn't matter how old you are. Maturity doesn't seem to follow age. Age is just something that we progress in, and maturity sometimes stays back when we were a kid. We choose to act with maturity. We choose to act differently when we get frustrated or upset. That's a choice that we make. So I know that you know, whenever I have a serious discussion with my wife, and she's right. She's always right, by the way. I'm bouncing all around trying to make a point, and what I start to do now is I look at her feet, and if her feet look the same color as the floorboards, I know that she's planted. She's not going anywhere. So you know what we get frustrated, we get upset, and those are some of the challenges that's a maturity issue. How we are affected by the surroundings, the things that happen to us, the choices we make because somebody else isn't doing what we want them to do or they're not acting the way we want them to act. We choose not to take offense to another's misconduct towards us. That's a maturity thing. You know, if somebody's mistreating you, how do you react to that? It's a choice. How do you react when your spouse, and that's, by the way, that's your family is the easiest target. If we're, you know, usually we're nice to everybody else and we go home and we just, blah, 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 you know. So, but, you know, when that's your best place to start. Our ability to change and respond appropriately will show your maturity or your continued need to work on it, you know. So in Ephesians 4:11-14, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Thank you. So even Christ knew about the challenges that we would face, and he gave us some wording here to help us get through that. So let's try to understand some of our distractions. First of all, we have too much to live for, to live with rather, and too little to live for. Today we have HD TVs, 3D TVs, wireless streaming TVs, video games, iPods, iPads, iPhones, laptops, internet, social media, smartphones, texting, wireless, movie theaters, work, family, and friends, okay? You know, these things have made us more self-focused and less God-focused. I mean, if you look at, I mean, I don't go on Facebook that much. And I'm not here to condemn anybody, but you really do need to start to think about how much time are you spending in that social media platform. Facebook does kind of send itself to my phone. So, but I get a lot of people, and for some reason, I get all of these invitations to play games. I must get about 6 or 7 invitations a week, at least. So we have kind of fallen into a market frenzy of a need-to-have mentality. I know that when the next big TV comes out, I probably said this in my last message, you kind of walk through Sam's Club and you're going, bah, 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 bah. We want the one that'll take up the whole wall, and we'll sit on top of it like this here, and we'll say, you ever go to one of those, the IMAX? You sit too close in the front, and you got to go back and forth because you're sitting too close. You can't see everything. But you know what? It's like you got to have the latest. I mean, their marketing is fantastic, because if you look at it, they come out with a different product every 6 months, and the fanatics have got to have the next thing. Doesn't matter if the big one is better than the small one, but they got to have it because it's there. It's brand new. They put one little thing on it that put a camera in the front of an iPad, and now, of course, you got to go get that one because now it's got the camera where you can video chat. Okay. So God is competing with all these distraction, and basically our faith is suffering somewhat from it. Because some of us have actually put all of that first, and we spend less time with Christ in prayer and reading the Word and things like that, which actually, as it was said, the Word builds our faith. And if we're not in the Word, then our faith is going to be challenged because we are not learning more about who God is. You know, there's our children, and I think I said this a couple weeks ago. Children, they want what they want when they want it. And they ask the question, why? You give them a reason why. They ask the question, why? You give them that reason. They ask the question, why? And before you know it, you're 15 whys later. And they're still looking for an answer. It's because, we know as parents what's good for them. We know what they need, hopefully. And the thing that the child is challenged with is that they don't understand why they can't get what they want. So they keep asking until maybe they wear you down and you give it to them, But, and from that stage, we kind of interpret what we have as blessings. And unfortunately, not getting what we want is being neglected. How many of us have prayed for something, not getting an answer, praying for healing, not getting healings, those kinds of things. And we turn back to God and we say, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? Why aren't you giving me what I'm asking for? I've been serving you for 25 years. Why can't I get a healing? And the thing is that God, while he is concerned for us, he really knows what is necessary for us to receive the promise that he's given us. He's already given us the greatest gift that we could ever ask for. He's given us eternity through his son, Jesus Christ. And I think that, he's more concerned about that. And he knows that if we keep getting what we ask all the time, and a lot of these things we ask for are just kind of, they're thrown out there because we're kind of selfish. We want what we want, again, just like our children. But discerning what we need of God versus what our flesh wants is the beginning of maturity too. It's the beginning of growing up. By the way, don't ever teach your children the word why. Wait till they're 30. And don't even give them words that have W-H-Y in it, because they'll be able to put them together. And you know, sometimes as adults, many times, as I just said, we act as children. And we haven't really kind of given over. It's like if somebody, we want what we want, and so if somebody doesn't give it to us the way we want it, then we give them a lot of grief. And you know, I got into some other stuff and got beyond myself, and it's like that, what's that, the distracted executives, what was that, the sidetracked home executives? Nancy told me I should read that book. But I said, I've got 20 books I'm reading already. I haven't got through the first chapter. So, one of the things that we need to address is our insecurities. I think there's a gentleman who used to come to this church a long time ago, and him and I were having a little conversation, and he said, you know, that all this bad stuff in this way people are thinking, it's just called stinking thinking, you know. And our faith can't move forward because we don't have any confidence in ourselves and in our relationship with God. You know, if you don't have confidence in your relationship with a spouse or even a family member, that relationship is going to suffer, isn't it? And same thing happens with God. If we don't have confidence in God's love for us, then we are going to struggle with that relationship. And I think that's something that we need to really kind of wrap our mind around so that we can redevelop that relationship again. And you know what? As a matter of fact, when you shared about your divorce and marriage coming back together, I mean, that's a good example of reconciliation. That's a good example of what we can do with God any given time. We can always be reconciled with God. The problem is that we have accepted what the past has said about us. And for some of us, it has become our mantra. You know, it is something that we've kind of put into our ourselves, and we're having a hard time pulling out of it because the things that have happened to us in the past, the things that were said about us in the past, things that, I mean, myself included, you know, I had to pull myself out of an insecure, unloved situation from my past to accept and receive the love of God. We need to be able to receive God's love. And if you can't feel love for yourself, you're not going to feel love for God either. You know, you have to, I'm not saying being prideful, but you need to have a relationship with yourself that says that I'm not that bad. You need to start rejecting what the enemy is saying to you and get strengthened, because those things affect your faith. If you don't get the caring about yourself issue, then you will struggle with the faith that God is trying to build up in you. It's just a reality that we have to address. Some of the challenges come from our own incorrect interpretation of the word. For example, I'll say in the NIV, when we were talking about the confidence in what we hope for versus the substance of things hoped for. Scriptures like "you have not because you ask not." We sometimes take those and we twist them. I like the substance of things hoped for, because it really means, what is the substance of what we are hoping for? What is it that we're hoping for? Are we hoping for things for ourselves? If we're confident in what we hope for, maybe we could interpret that as saying, hey, anything that I want I'm confident that God's going to give it to me. I mean, how many people have confident for a house, and actually the house is a curse because they couldn't afford it, but they got the house anyway. There's things that, you know, you need to be confident in who you need to have the substance of what you hope for. It needs to be what is about God versus about what we want. Some of this is it's a misrepresentation of Christianity by other Christians. I just heard something on TV. There's a new movement now, believe it or not, going on about the authority of Christian husbands and the right to spank their wives if they are not obedient. Did anybody hear that? I mean, seriously, obedient to what? You know, you've heard the stories about some of the guys are looking over and say, okay, you're getting it now. You know, you get all of these things that go on there. You have that group that goes around and does these big displays in front of fallen soldiers when they're being buried, and they claim that God, that's showing the love of God. But if you are like on the fence of believing, or even those of us who are here, sometimes you get tired of listening to some of the crap, you know, and it can affect how you believe. It can change how you believe. And so we need to be careful when we're going out and confessing these things of God. We better make sure that we've got it right. We got to better make sure that it stands in the Word of God, because there's nowhere in here that says that a husband has the right to spank his woman. Actually, it says just the opposite. You know, it says that we need to love them as Christ loved the church. You know, so I don't know where all this stuff comes from, but here's the thing. The enemy has a plan. The enemy knows his plan, and he knows what your weaknesses are and our weaknesses are. If he can bombard us with enough of this false information, we will start to maybe question our own faith. We will start to question this Christianity. And if you're on the fence, it may be enough to send you say, you know, those Christians are crazy. They're nuts. Why would I want to be a Christian? So we need to really be careful what we say. And I'll tell you, matter of fact, I get like this sometimes when I hear some of the comments that have been put out on Facebook. And it's just, you've got somebody professing their Christianity on one hand and cussing and swearing in the same, you know, message. And then saying, I'm a Christian. And, you know, being conservative doesn't make you a Christian. It just makes you conservative. Unless you believe in Christ, unless you're following Christ, you know, calling yourself a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. You know? If you're following Christ and you're doing what he said to do, then we have a chance. Amen? So it's never be overconfident in what you have in Christ. Because if you really get deep into the Word, you really need to commit. You need to work harder at your commitment to who you are as a Christian. I think a big challenge that we have also is how we feel. How do you feel with your relationship with God? Are you angry, frustrated, or distracted with Him because of some undelivery or some not getting answers, or you can't feel Him, those kinds of things? How do you feel about yourself? We all struggle, and we will all fail to some degree or another. We need to take an attitude, because I'm not going to give up on me, and I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to sit up here and say, hey, this is, my calling is to be a preacher. I'm not going to say that. I would never. But if God is, I've been asked by the pastors to come up here. My wife said, I don't know how you do it. And I said, because I've been asked. And it's, you know, it doesn't make me a preacher to be up here. All I'm trying to do is to help people find their way to eternity. Amen. Whether you get it from this message or you get it from me on a one-on-one, come and talk to me. I'm better one-on-one. But I'm not going to give up on us because you know what? The promise is too much to sacrifice. The promise of Christ and the things that he's given us, that eternal life, is too much to give away. It's too much for me to say, I don't want it. You know, I don't know anybody in here that said, if you just wait 5 years, I will give you Detroit, Michigan as a place of your own. You know, or a big mansion or whatever it is here on earth. That whoever knew that probably would struggle as much as they had to because they knew that the prize was going to be at the end of that term. Well, our prize, of course, comes at the end of our life. But it's a greater prize than that. Your flesh can hope for the greater things here, but eternity, your soul, is beckoning, your spirit is beckoning for that eternal life. We need to build our faith with an attitude of Thomas Edison. When asked, how many times are you going to fail to make the light bulb? He said, son, I haven't failed. I've simply discovered 2,000 ways not to make the light bulb. I only need one way to make it work. Well, you need to believe in the one way to make your faith work, and that's Jesus. Amen. If you haven't found it yet, don't give up. Keep trying. Never quit. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen? And that's all. That's all, folks. Thank you.
All right, if I could have the prayer team come forward. We're going to go ahead and close in prayer. John, thank you so much. You know, he asked a lot of good questions there. I don't know if you noticed, but there was a lot of good questions that were coming out of that word that we should be asking ourselves. There was some very good points in there about, you know, choosing wisely, making our choice to follow after God, to have faith. Why do we have faith? A lot of good stuff in there, John. I know you you sort of didn't think you. I'm talking. He's not even listening. He's over there talking to everybody else. Everybody's congratulating him. John, you did a good. John, you did do a good job. Didn't he do a good job? Did he get you guys? You know, if you get somebody to think a little bit, and I was sitting there thinking, yeah, that's a good question. You know what I mean? And you get somebody to think and start questioning in their mind, and that's what we have to do. We got to get ourselves to think, you know, and not just go through the world and just go from one day to the next and just go about our business. We need to be thinking about the things of God. And Don, it's good to see you. Can you talk yet, or are you silent? Oh, wow, listen to that. Amen. We had a couple people. Alex hadn't been able to talk for a couple weeks, but I could hear her voice today. She's coming along. She'll be back next week up on the stage. And it's funny because she asked that song we sang today, that you know, the Worship the Great I Am. That was a song Alex asked me to learn back about a month ago. And I said, all right, Alex, next practice we're going to learn it. And then she lost her voice. So I said, all right, we'll put it to the next week. And the next week. Pastor, I still can't sing. So Candace, you know, picked up the mantle there and went up, went over and did it, and it went well. And Did you enjoy it? Did you like hearing it? Yeah. All right, good. She did it. She did it good for you, huh? Next week you'll be singing it. All right. All right, let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you. We thank you so much for this word that that John has brought forth today. And Lord, that you've challenged us, Lord God. You've challenged us to look at our faith, you know, at what do we believe in? Are we believing? I mean, what are we choosing to follow? And, you know, what will make it so that we want to follow our calling and our purpose and our destiny, Lord God? And we thank you, Lord, because we know that you've got something great for every one of us. And Lord, I just pray that your anointing would be upon the prayer team up here, that each one of them, as they prepare their hearts, even right at this moment, Lord, that your anointing would be upon them. Lord, that you would use them to just touch the lives of those who come up for prayer. Lord, we also ask your blessing upon the food, the snacks, the coffee, the donuts and that we have upstairs and upon this week. I thank you for everyone that's here. God bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, Father.